Welcome to Bible Talk, where truth is taught and questions are answered. Bible Talk is brought to you by the South End Church of Christ. We meet at 4001 Taylor Boulevard. You are invited to participate in the program by calling 571-1240. That is 571-1240. And now, your host, Aaron Erhard.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to Bible Talk, where truth is taught and questions are answered. Bible Talk is brought to you by the South End Church of Christ. We meet at 4001 Taylor Boulevard. Our building sits right on the corner of Taylor Boulevard and Ashland Avenue and borders the Watterson Expressway at Exit 9. That means no matter where you are in the Kentuckiana area, you are just minutes from our church building. You can visit us on the web at southendchurchofchrist.com. I am Aaron Erhart, and joining me on the program today is my good friend and fellow evangelist, Don Wright. Don works with the West End Church of Christ. They meet at 4401 West Broadway. Don, great to have you on the program.
Good to be with you. Look forward to it.
As always, we invite your participation on the program. If you have a question or comment, the lines are open. The number is 571-1240. That is 571-1240. It is July the 20th, and I want to take just a moment to wish my wife a happy anniversary. 9 years together. It's hard to believe. It's been a great 9 years, but a fast 9 years. God, through her, has blessed me with three beautiful children, Skylar, Luke, and Seth. And so right off the bat, I want to tell her happy anniversary. It's also a special day because today begins a new radio program. Immediately following Bible Talk, we have more Bible Talk.
That's right. It will be a new program provided by the West End Church of Christ, but it will be some of the same. It will be the same format, and of course, both myself and Aaron will be here. And we just thank God that we're able to have the opportunity to have the program. It will be on Tuesdays and Thursdays, beginning at 2:30, so right after this program, and going to 3 o'clock. And so we're so thankful, and Aaron, a good example, I think we're setting as two congregations working together concurrently, cooperating each other, but doing it in a scriptural way, maintaining our complete autonomy. And so we're excited about it, excited for being on the air for a whole another half hour and being able to take the calls from the people.
So today and Thursday, each week, Tuesday and Thursday, stick around for an additional half hour. Bible Talk, and then more Bible Talk. Don, for the last few days, we've been talking about women preachers. And needless to say, this has caused a lot of interest. We've received emails, recordings at the building, and we've had calls here live on the program. Mm-hmm. And today we're going to continue this discussion. First, we had an email question. We often say that you can submit questions for the program 24/7 at southendchurchofchrist.com. If you go to our homepage, you'll see a Bible Talk link. Click on that link, and it'll take you to a page where you can submit questions. Well, someone did that. The question is, did Paul have a woman follower that was a preacher? And then they have the word Thecla. Paul certainly had women followers, women who assisted him in his ministry, much like our Lord. But no, there were no women preachers that assisted Paul. They may have helped him in other ways, but Paul is the one who wrote that women are not to preach in the assembly. They're not to exercise authority over the man. You know, Don, the whole issue of women in the church and what their role is has gained a lot of momentum over the last few years. I went back and looked at just a few article headings. July the 25th, 2008, St. Petersburg Times. First female pastor set to take over at Clearwater's Grace Lutheran. August 23rd, 2008, the Dallas Morning News. Woman's turn in pulpit at Irving Bible Church brings buzz, beefs. January the 22nd, 2009, USA Today. Methodist Women Seek to Crack Stained Glass Ceiling. September 17th, 2009, USA Today, survey, number of women senior pastors doubles in 10 years. Then that brings us to the most recent article in Saturday's Courier Journal, Church Names First Female Bishop. These are just a few of many articles that have been written about the rise of women preachers in denominationalism. And by the way, even some churches of Christ have gone off into this. But you see, this is something that's gaining momentum. And so Don and I have been talking about the role of women. One thing we have not been able to do enough is emphasize the importance of women in the New Testament. Anytime you say that women cannot do something, some immediately go to an extreme. Well, they don't think that women are equal with men, or they're chauvinists, or things like that. That couldn't be further from the truth. And so, Don, today, right off the bat, I want to emphasize that women are very important as we look at the New Testament. Think about how Jesus viewed women. In John chapter 4, remember Jesus had that conversation with the woman at the well? One thing you might not know is that normally a Jewish man would not even look at a Samaritan woman, much less speak to her. So here you see Jesus setting a wonderful example. Not only was she a Samaritan, she was a Samaritan woman. And yet Jesus engaged her in conversation. Jesus healed women, Luke 13, verses 11 through 13. Jesus taught women, Luke 10, verses 38 through 42. Jesus let women support his ministry, Luke 8, verses 1 through 3. Now understand, all of this was in contrast to the way most Jewish men viewed women. The apostles spoke very highly of women. Remember in Romans 16, Paul commended several women, including Phoebe and Priscilla. He said that Mary was a hard worker. In Philippians 4, he commended certain women as fellow helpers. So Don, maybe right off the bat, we ought to emphasize that this is not about who's better or more important. Men and women are equal in the sight of God. Galatians 3, verse 28. Men are not better than women. Women are not better than men. We are absolutely equal in the sight of God. It's simply a question of roles.
That's right. And remember, a question of authority and what God has authorized. And so as we think about ourselves as Christians and what we want to accomplish for the Lord, we should think first, what is it that God has authorized me to do? And that's very important that we stick within the boundaries of the Word of God. And then, you know, what do I have the ability to do after that? Not the other way around. If something is unauthorized, it doesn't matter how much ability you have or talent you have in a particular area. You don't do that unless it is authorized by God. And so it's important then, but you know, women can do all kind of wonderful things in the body of Christ. And they have, and they do, and they are. In fact, I've often pointed out that in most local congregations, some of the sisters in Christ are the backbone of the local church in many ways. They're sometimes the most faithful at every service, teaching where they can teach in such a way where they're not usurping the authority of the men. It's hard to get folks to teach sometimes those little children and things like that. It's not an easy job at all. A lot easier teaching a group of adults, and women step forward to do that, and that's very important, shaping and framing the young minds of the children who are going to grow up and be members of the church later. That's very important. Don't underestimate that. What about what Paul says to Timothy? And you remember how he got his background in 2 Timothy 1 and at verse 1, when I call to remembrance. Excuse me, the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. And so there's a great example, Aaron, of how God wants faith to pass on from generation. Those good, godly women taught Timothy, and we know what he did for the Lord.
Absolutely. You know, we often say behind every good man is a great woman. That's certainly true in my case. I couldn't do what I do as an evangelist without the support of Jill.
That's right.
And that's true with an elder. Think about it. An elder couldn't serve as an elder if his wife wasn't what she's supposed to be.
That's right.
In 1 Timothy 3, Paul talks about the qualifications for a deacon. Have you ever noticed he mentions the deacon's wives? Again, it's absurd and wrong to think that this discussion hinges on equality. It's not a matter of equality. It's not a matter of who's more important or who's of greater significance. Galatians 3:28 is very clear. We are equal in the sight of God. And the New Testament stresses the importance of women. This is a matter of roles. And as Don said, Bible authority. What does God say I'm to do and not to do? As you look at the New Testament, God is very clear. 1 Timothy 2, verses 11 and 12. Let a woman learn quietly with all submissiveness. I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet. How much clearer could it be? Women are not to teach nor exercise authority over a man. Now, this is in a context of worship. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, again, in a context of worship, Paul says in verse 34, as in all the churches of the saints, the women should keep silent in the churches. Now, here's our problem. Some people are not content with the Scriptures. They put their thoughts and their preferences and their wills above the will of God. You have to try to miss the teaching of 1 Timothy 2. You have to try to miss the teaching of 1 Corinthians 14:34. Women have a role in the church. However, that role does not include teaching in a manner over men. Now, if you have a problem with that, you have a problem with God.
That's right. And listen, and God even, out of the kindness of His own heart, gives us a little insight as to why He said, let the women learn in silence. In verse 13, He said, for Adam was first formed and then Eve. Now, listen, God didn't have to tell us that. He doesn't have to tell us why he is setting forth certain laws. He's God. He can do whatever He wants to. The question is, are we going to respect what he commands, regardless of the reason why? And, of course, this is such an important topic, because if you're listening to this radio program and you're attending a church that has a woman pastor, you're attending a church that is sinning against God, that's not respecting the Word of God. They're respecting society and what society wants more than what God says. And you remember what John said about the doctrine of Christ? Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ has not God. Well, if 1 Timothy chapter 2:11, if that's not the doctrine of Christ, then what in the world is it?
Hello, you're on Bible Talk.
Yeah, Aaron, one of the things that you all talked about yesterday in conjunction with that article in the paper was a cultural mandate. And I wondered, specifically had in mind 1 Corinthians 14, verse beginning at 34 there, where Paul, as I understand that, how much does church history have a play in some of this? As I understand it, Paul wasn't telling the women to shut up. He was basically trying to bring order to the church. He had, women on one side and the men on the other, and things were just getting a little bit out of hand. How much does church history play in all this?
All right, be glad to talk about it. Thank you. The lines are open. The number is 571-1240. 571-1240. Yeah, he referenced the article in the Courier-Journal Saturday. It says that a church names first female bishop. And interestingly, this woman bishop said she wasn't sure why women hadn't been elected before, but said it's probably because most churches hold to the traditional view that the Bible should be interpreted literally. She disagrees with that. In fact, she's quoted as saying that it should be interpreted as cultural mandates for immediate audiences, not as timeless principles. I deny that with every fiber of my being. The Bible is not figurative. The Bible is not to be interpreted as cultural mandates. In fact, I made the point yesterday, if we're to interpret the Bible that way, if we're to interpret the Bible based on cultural mandates, how could we ever have unity? I mean, think about it. Cultures differ from place to place. If everybody is interpreting the scriptures based on their own cultural mandates, we could never have unity. Yet Jesus prayed for unity. Paul commanded unity. So the very idea that we should just interpret passages on our own cultural mandates is wrong. We take the Bible literally unless the context demands otherwise. In 1 Corinthians 14, it's interesting, you actually have a different Greek word than in 1 Timothy chapter 2. In fact, if you notice 1 Corinthians 14, verse 34 in the ESV, it says that women should keep silent in the churches. But in 1 Timothy chapter 2, at verse 12, it says she is to remain quiet. So the ESV does a good job of showing the difference in the original meaning. In 1 Timothy 2, Paul is saying she should be quiet. She should be submissive. She's not to exercise authority over the man. In 1 Corinthians 14, Paul uses a Greek word that means absolutely silent. She's not to utter a word. Now, the context plays a part. In 1 Corinthians 14, the latter part, he's regulating the gifts in the assembly. He's saying that those who have the gift of tongues can exercise their gifts, but here are certain regulations. Those who have the gift of prophecy can exercise their gift, but these are some regulations. He then says women, regardless of whether or not they have the gifts, must remain absolutely silent. That is, when it comes to publicly addressing the assembly. So really, you have the same principle being taught, but 1 Corinthians 14 is a bit more stern.
Yes, and of course goes on to say, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. But, you know, so far as church history is concerned, history might have an impact on how different denominations begin to do things. And as things shift, and of course it's noted in history, but it doesn't change the Bible. And so what Paul writes here obviously has nothing to do with church history. He's just setting down a law, and it has been that way again. For it is not permitted for them to speak. He's setting forth, as I said yesterday, an apostolic mandate. It's not a cultural mandate. It's an apostolic mandate. Now, as history goes on and someone bends and twists the word of God or decides to ignore it and you have someone violate the scriptures, then someone else comes along and violates it. And so that begins to be reflected in history. And then the next thing you know, what's wrong seems right and what's right seems wrong because the current history it seems to be in favor. We talk with that about musical instruments a lot. People today think musical instruments are okay. Why? Because in current history, almost all denominational churches use them. But in reality, when you go back to the Word of God, you find that they did not.
The lines are open. The number is 571-1240. You're listening to the Bible Talk radio program brought to you by the South End Church of Christ. Why not visit us on the web at southendchurchofchrist.com? And you know, Don, when we talk about women preachers, or the bigger issue, respecting our roles in the church, the truly godly women, those who are sincerely seeking to do the will of God, will not be offended in the least by our position. It's the biblical position. The truly spiritually minded women, they'll respect what God said. They'll appreciate what God said. It's the arrogant women who will say, oh no, I don't care what God said, I'm going to do it anyway.
That's right. And you have a problem with men with this same issue as pastors today, who want to be in control, and they want to be in a pastor arrangement. We've often pointed out in the New Testament, there's always a plurality of elders or pastors in a local church. But you have some men, because of arrogance, because of pride, they want to be the chief. They want to be the one in charge. So they become the pastor. They may have little assistant pastors, but they are the pastor. Well, that's unscriptural. They're stepping out of the role that God has set forth. You take Aaron. Aaron said many times on this program, of course, he's an evangelist. He doesn't qualify to be a pastor at this stage. What if Aaron just said, yeah, forget about those qualifications in 1 Timothy 3. I'm going to be an elder. I preach every Sunday. I do this and that. I want to be a pastor. I want to be in charge. And he just took that stand. Who wouldn't conclude that's pride and arrogance involved in that? And it's the same thing with women. So.
You know, I call it Uzziah-itis. Remember Uzziah back in 2 Chronicles 26? He usurped the office of the priests and was plagued with leprosy as a result.
That's right.
But what caused him to do that? The Bible tells us in verse 16, he was prideful or proud. That was the problem. That's the reason he usurped the office of the priests. And that's what we see today. Men and women taking on roles they have no right to take on. It's Uzziah-itis. Hello, you're on Bible Talk.
How's it going today?
Fine. Good. How are you?
My brothers, I was listening to the conversation as I have been for the last few days. And I wanted to share a passage in 1 Corinthians 11. In this passage is talking about the covering of the head, about the woman's hair, you know, is not to be shaved. And I believe this ties in to what we were talking about as to why God set up these roles the way that he did. Starting in verse 7 through verse 9. For a man ought not to have his head covered, since he is the image and the glory of God. But the woman is the glory of man. For man does not originate from woman, but woman from man. For indeed, man was not created for woman's sake, but woman for the man's sake. Now, in that passage, it shows a difference in the creation, according to Paul, of the man and the woman. The man was made, according to this passage, in the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of man. I think God made a distinction and said that is why, because man was created in my own image, that he is the one that is to be in charge, also to be the head of the household.
All right, we'll talk about it. Thank you. The lines are open. The number is 571-1240.
Yeah, well, first of all, I would agree with most of what the good caller said. There, we certainly have orders set forth in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, what we have there is, of course, orders of authority, and we begin with God and with Christ, and Christ over man, and the man is over the woman. I'm not sure that I agree. If it was indicated that woman was not created in the image of God, then I would disagree with that. She certainly was. That's clear from Genesis chapter 1, as they're set forth. God, in that particular passage, talks about the bringing forth of man, the creation of man in his image, and then he spells out what man is made up of, male and female. And so the what was created in the image of God was both male and female. So I don't think I would agree with that part of it.
Yeah, you know, but 1 Corinthians 11 is a good place because it shows the order of authority.
Yes.
Which certainly plays into our discussion.
That's right.
Hello, you're on Bible Talk.
Hey, good afternoon.
Hey, man.
I think we're on the same page on this part here, and it's because it's in the Bible, I think we're on the same page. 1 Corinthians, you look at that, the Corinthian church was a really moral, corrupt church, and Paul was really upset from what I understand, what I see it, that a lot of women were trying to do things and take over. So when you go to 1 Corinthians 14, he kind of makes a point, hey, be quiet. Be quiet. Now, my question, I guess, or comment, I used to travel my job a lot, and I would go to church on Sundays in different cities. And I went to a real small church one time, very small, and I went to Sunday school, and there was like 15 people in the classroom, and the lady got up, and she led the classroom and led the discussion. Afterwards, I went up to her and asked her why she did that, and she replied, we cannot get any men to do it, so it's either me or nobody. So I'd like to hear what would you think about that when that happens, and I'll hang up.
All right. Yeah, thank you. The lines are open. The number is 571-1240. Listen, you've got to consider the very premise of that argument. The premise of that argument is, Well, since men are derelict in their duty, we have no choice but to violate the Word of God. And so I would take issue with that. Their dereliction does not then justify you to do what God said you're not allowed to do.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Remember, we ought to obey God rather than man. There are no exceptions to violating laws that are set forth. And so you have to come up with another option. Violating the Word of God, disobeying direct commands of God is never an option. And we have examples in the Bible of people trying to do that. We, early in the week, looked at Nadab and Abihu. They were struck by fire. Cain, of course, was rejected by God. You have to do what God says, regardless of the suffering or the sacrificing that might be involved in that.
And let me reiterate what we said earlier. This is not a matter of who's better or who's more important or anything like that. Let's make it very clear, we are equal in the sight of God. Galatians 3, verse 28. However, we do have different roles, and those who are truly godly will respect their role. It's when arrogance and pride seeps in that we try to take what does not belong to us. Don used me as an example. I am not qualified to be an elder. If you look at the qualifications in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1, I clearly do not meet some of those qualifications. I'm too young. I don't have believing children. Now, if I decided, well, you know what, I don't care what 1 Timothy 3 says, I'm going to be an elder anyway. Am I acting humbly toward God and His Word, or is that arrogant? Obviously, that's arrogant. Well, if you can see it with me, why can't you see it with these women? They have no right to do this. They're in clear violation of the Word of God, but they're going to do it anyway. Women who do that should not be praised. They should be rebuked.
That's right.
Hello, you're on Bible Talk.
I would like to, for you to make me understand the 150th Psalm.
Okay, thank you. The lines are open. The number is 571-1240. Now, I'm assuming here, but I would imagine this goes back to what Don said in passing about mechanical instruments. Usually when we bring up mechanical instruments, someone runs to Psalm 150, where David, as he praises the Lord, praises Yahweh, clearly mentions several instruments. He mentions the trumpet, the lute, the harp, the tambourine, strings and pipes and cymbals and so on. Now, if you just want a general overview of the psalm, it consists of 6 verses. It is simply a psalm of praise. David is praising his God, the God of heaven and earth. Now, if your point is, well, David praised him with instruments, there are a few things you need to understand. Number one, the Psalms were part of the old law. Jesus said so in John 10, verse 34, and in John 15, verse 25. The old law has been taken out of the way, nailed to the cross. Colossians 2, verse 14. We're under the new law today, the law of Christ. Our authority must come from the new, not the old, and the new does not authorize mechanical instruments.
That's absolutely right. You know, sometimes people dress up that argument like this. Well, if, you know, David did it, and so David certainly was a man after God's own heart, yes, but you can't do, and I can't do, everything that David did. David offered animal sacrifices. You find that in the book of Psalms as well. Psalms 20, verse 3, and so on. David had a plurality of wives. Can I have a plurality of wives because David did? David also, acting by divine authority, killed some of his enemies. Can I do that? No. We're under a different law today, and so it's really, and I appreciate the good lady calling, but it's just as simple as that. You need to understand what law we're under. That's a part of rightly dividing the word of truth. We're under the gospel law, the law of Christ, and under the law of Christ, they sang, they didn't play.
You know, one other thing I wanted to mention about these women preachers, and you see this in the headings of the articles I quoted at the beginning of the program. There's some confusion on the role of a preacher and a pastor. Many people assume that they're the same role, the same function, the same work. The term preacher and pastor in denominationalism is used interchangeably. But we have to understand that not only is a woman not qualified to preach, she's not qualified to be a pastor. Now, these are two different offices. And maybe in the second half hour we can get into this.
Sure.
But I think that's something that many people need to be aware of. I'm a preacher. I'm not a pastor. Don is a preacher. He's not a pastor. Pastors are elders or bishops. That's different from a preacher.
That's right.
Hello, you're on Bible Talk.
Brethren.
Go ahead.
Hello.
I wanted to bring up a couple of passages what you mentioned about earlier. I've gone back because you mentioned Genesis 1, and I also wanted to look in Genesis 5. In the 27th verse of Genesis, it says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. And then there is a punctuation mark and says, male and female, he created them. Also in the fifth chapter, it talking about the generations of Adam, it said, in the day when God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them, male and female. That's a different statement. It's not saying that, it does not say in the passage he created them both in the likeness of God or the image of God. It says he created him.
All right, we're going to run out of time.
In the likeness of God. And then, and male and female, he created them.
All right.
You know, well, saying I made them both.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
And, again, we may have to pick this up in the second half hour as well.
Yes.
Listen, let me say this. Maybe we need to understand what it means to be created in the image of God. You know, over in Genesis chapter 9, verse 6, for instance, it says, whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed, for God made man in his own image. Now, would anyone say this is referring specifically to the male and the male alone? I don't think so. I think most people would say the idea is whoever kills mankind shall be put to death because mankind was created in the image of God. But we're out of time. Listen, don't go anywhere. We are happy to announce that the West End Church of Christ is now sponsoring a radio program immediately following this one on Tuesdays and Thursdays. It's called More Bible Talk. It's up right now.
You have been listening to Bible Talk, a work of the South End Church of Christ. The South End Church of Christ meets at 4001 Taylor Boulevard in Louisville, Kentucky. Visit us on the World Wide Web at southendchurchofchrist.com and be sure to tune in each weekday at 2 p.m. for More Bible Talk.
Welcome to More Bible Talk. More of your Bible questions. More Bible-based answers. More of the bread of life. More Bible Talk is brought to you by the West End Church of Christ. We meet at 4401 West Broadway. And now your host, Don Wright.
Hello, and welcome to More Bible Talk, where more truth is taught and more questions are answered. We are the West End Church of Christ. We're located at 4401 West Broadway, and that's on the corner of Broadway and 44th Street, right across the street from the Yearling Club. So you might be familiar with that area, and certainly we would appreciate if you would come out and visit with us. We have services every Lord's Day beginning at 10 o'clock for Bible study. Then we have a worship service at 11 o'clock and again at 5 o'clock that evening. You'd be our honored guest if you'd come out and be with us. We'd show that you are an honored guest. We'll be friendly to you. The brethren would just appreciate so much to see you, and you'll be able to tell when you come and visit with the West End Church of Christ. Joining me on the program is Aaron Earhart. He is the outstanding evangelist for the South End Church of Christ. You are familiar with him, the host of Bible Talk, and he's with me. And Aaron, we appreciate you sticking around.
I'm glad to be here.
We've had some interesting comments just recently, the end of the Bible Talk program. And one, Aaron, that we were dealing with, and I don't know if we want to get too bogged down with this, because it centered around who was and was not made in the image of God. Now, with regard to the good caller, I think we're pretty much on the same page so far as the roles and the authority. We understand that man has the authority over the woman. And so we're on the same page with that, and that's really our point of emphasis. We just don't want to take that too far. If you're listening to Bible Talk, Aaron brought up a good passage in Genesis chapter 9 and at verse 6. that demonstrated that the idea of being created in the image of God wasn't just for man. If that were the case, then it would be no big deal if a woman was murdered, according to that passage. And so I think we need to understand what it means to be created in the image of God. To be created in the image of God has nothing to do with our physical makeup. It has to do with the eternal spirit that He has created us with. That's going to go on living forever. And both male and female has that. Both male and female have the same creativity and imagination and capability intellectually to obey God and serve God and worship God. And all of that is a part of being created in the image of God. And there's nothing there different about the male from the female.
You know, you're absolutely right. This cannot be referring to one's physical appearance or biological makeup, because many of these features are found in animals. Have you ever thought about that? So it can't be referring to the physical or even to the biological makeup of man. As Don said, this refers to the inner man. Another passage came to mind, James 3, verse 9. The ESV says, "With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the image of God." Again, I think the scriptures are clear. Both male and female were created in God's image. But as you said, we agree in principle that the man is over the woman.
That's right. The man was created first. That's what we were getting at 1 Timothy chapter 2. And that was the reason why, though we said God didn't have to give us a reason why, that was the reason why that the woman was to keep silent in the church. And that's the thing that we want to really hang on, because that's the thing that people are abusing. And more people are abusing that. It's becoming more and more popular. These TV evangelists sometimes double teaming. The man and the wife will be up on stage together doing that. These people like Paula White, others are just becoming so very popular that people are trying to copycat it. And what's going on then is you're having churches doing things that are unauthorized in principle. Now, a lot of these churches are unauthorized to begin with, but the point of it is they're deceiving people and taking people down the path that simply is not scriptural. Hello, you're on More Bible Talk. Will you speak up, please?
Hey, I'm the first caller, new show.
Hey, how about that?
Hey, after I hang up, kind of give us a little format of the new show. I mean, are we still restricted to just one or two calls and so forth? And we'll abide by that, I'm sure.
Yes.
I want to get back to my question. In a small country church, the lady told me, if I don't teach, nobody teaches. And I respect your guys' answer, and I agree with it, but do they just cancel the service? They just go home because the lady's willing to do it, but they don't have a man that can do it. So I want to hear about that some more. What do you do? I mean, I kind of felt sorry for the small church. And also, I agree with you guys. Women are very important. They followed Jesus around His ministry for 3 years. They were there at the cross. They were there at the tomb. And women are very high regarded in the Bible. And I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, appreciate that very much. And again, we stick with our original response to that. You know, no matter what kind of situation arises, you just cannot violate the Word of God. And a woman, under any circumstance, cannot usurp the authority of a man. I think you do all that you can. If you just have a few members there, you do all that you can to get the man to step up and to be the man and do what he can in leading the service. But violating the Word of God is just not an option. Sometimes we want to, you know, have loopholes and that sort of thing. No, we have to stick with the Word of God. That's the only safe and solid ground. And otherwise, you're going to bring the wrath of God upon you.
If the men there won't step up and do their job, then find a new church. You may have to drive a while. It may be inconvenient. But again, the very premise of the argument, well, can we violate the will of God since the men aren't doing their part? Of course not. As Don said, under no circumstances can you violate the will of God justly. So kick those men into gear or go and find a congregation that's faithful.
That's right. You're on More Bible Talk. Will you speak up, please?
Yes. I haven't heard anyone mention this, but how much do you think that the women's liberation movement has played into this? While it may have done some good things for women, I think that it believes that no matter what, a woman has to be equal at all costs, and that includes, you know, being disobedient to God. Yeah. I hadn't heard anyone bring that up. Can you comment on it?
Sure, be glad to, and appreciate that call very much. Because first of all, I believe that that has a whole lot to do with it. In fact, it's probably the primary source, not only of more and more women wanting to do that, but of society sort of being afraid to speak out against it. Now, you know, a lot of people listening would think that Aaron and I are just male chauvinist and that sort of thing. We're outdated and that sort of thing. And so, yeah, that has a whole lot to do with it. And the fact of the matter is the women's movement has really hurt in a lot of areas, not just on this issue. It has a whole lot, in my estimation, to do with the popularity of abortion and people not willing to speak out against that. And so there are all kind of problems with that. But that's a situation, again, where our own, what we perceive to be rights, are placed before God's commands. Listen, the only human rights we have are the ones that God has given us, because He's the Creator. We're the creation. And so, but I think that's very perceptive of that caller. I think it has a whole lot to do with it.
She hit it on the head, and I'm glad that a woman brought it up, lest people get the wrong idea. You know, this is, you know, feminism to a fault. We're all in favor of equal rights, but not at the cost of God's word. And it's not even about rights. It's about roles. You know, I'm not qualified to be an elder. Do I then feel inferior? Do I feel like I'm a second-class citizen because I can't be an elder? Of course not. I would never say, well, you know, they have more rights than I have. No, they don't. It's not about rights. It's about roles. But, Don, she hit it on the head, and I'm so thankful for that. Listen again. You know, I quoted different headings of various articles within the last few years. The January 22nd, 2009 edition of the USA Today. Listen to the title. Methodist women seek to crack stained glass ceiling. Well, that's this whole mentality that, you know, they've got to crack through that ceiling. They've been inferior, they've been second class, and they need to break through that ceiling. No, that's the wrong frame of mind. But you see it even in the heading of this article. Listen quickly to what Teresa Snorton, this new bishop, who was featured in Saturday's Courier-Journal, said. I think this is very telling. She said, quote, between 2006 and 2008, there was a lot of conversation about how we need a woman to run. Notice that. She said in 2008, when it did not seem any of the women were going to step forward, after a significant period of discernment, I decided I would step forward and run. Now, notice it wasn't based on qualifications. It wasn't based on who's best. Her and her cronies decided we need a woman. It's time for a woman to run. So, yeah, this is feminism to a fault.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, as we think about some of these articles, first female pastor sent to take over. You think about this sort of thing. What almost all of these quotes indicate is that this is something new. This is something that is being introduced. That means that the old time gospel isn't good enough. That means that somehow under the apostles' watch, by the way, women were being mistreated and held back under the apostles' watch. So now we need something new to come forward. No, all we need to do is stick with the Bible. And the Bible tells us, if someone, Aaron, came along and read these passages, like in 1 Timothy 2, verse 11, let the women learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp the authority over a man, but to be in silence. If we just read that and looked at the overall context, looked at the context around it, there would be no problem at all understanding what Paul said. There would be no lashback at all, no rebellion. It's very understandable. But again, going back to our previous caller, you know, this feminine movement has come along, and now we're afraid to challenge lest we be called male chauvinists, that sort of thing. People think that they have a right even when it violates God's law, but that's the problem. Let's just stick with the Bible. It's clear and plain. We just have to give God His due.
And let me make one quick observation. During the first half hour, I made the point that the truly godly women listening won't be offended in the least by our message because it's Bible-based. There is a perfect example. That good lady, she was not upset with us. She knew we were preaching the truth. And she had the courage to put God above everything else. And I commend her for that.
And we have a call. I'll get to you in just a second. Let me say this, too. That attitude is everything. There is something that all of us, male and female, old and young, can do for the Lord. But I think we have to examine our hearts. If you just want, let's say that you're a woman and you've been brought up in a culture, in an environment where they push women preaching, but now you're listening to the Word of God and you're reading these passages for the first time. You have a decision to make. Is it about you and what you want or what is acceptable, or is it really about God and His will? It comes down to attitude. Hello, you're on More Bible Talk. Will you speak up, please?
Yes, good afternoon. I'm going to change the subject just a little bit.
Okay.
Maybe a couple of weeks ago, a gentleman called in, and I'm not going to say any names or any congregations, but he said that he made a claim, a charge, against the South End Church of Christ and the West End Church of Christ. He made two. And this came up in a conversation that I had last evening. And on that particular show, he said that he could not find, I'm talking social gospel, he could not find the word social gospel nowhere in the Bible, nor in his Webster dictionary, nor in a Vine's dictionary. So therefore, if he could not find that, then the South End Church of Christ and the West End Church of Christ is teaching a different doctrine, okay?
Okay.
So then I said, well, okay, if that's the case, then what you're doing, you're practicing social gospel, is that not adding to God's word? You're doing something that's not in authority. Is that not a different doctrine?
Right.
That was the first claim that they made. Then they said, well, they're always beating up on the members of the Church of Christ that are not following, that's doing social gospel. They're always talking about them. They're judging them. And I said, they're doing it out of love. They want you all to come to the knowledge of the truth. So we went through that, and I'm just saying he's making these charges, and can you just talk about them?
Yeah, sure, we'd be glad
and,
to.
Well, let me say this one thing.
Okay.
And another thing I mentioned is the fact that, okay, you're looking for these words in the Bible, you're looking for them in the dictionary, instead of looking for God's word for the authority. I was in that position, and a little different because I knew something was wrong. I sit there on Sunday mornings, I'm thinking, what does this have to do with worship?
Yeah.
But I was looking for something that in the Bible that says, thou shalt not have a Black History program in the building where you've collected money on the first day of the week, in a building that's set aside for evangelism, benevolence, and what's the other B?
Okay, I got you. Let us talk about some of these things.
You got me.
And
okay.
We appreciate the call very
Thank
much.
You
and we appreciate you doing all that you can to help enlighten individuals about the truth on some of these issues, because it's very important. First of all, it is clear that the gentleman that you were talking to or whoever you were talking to, that first of all, again, he indicted himself by admitting that the social gospel is not in the Bible. All we want to do on this program is do things Bible ways. And that's all we do. Now, we mentioned the social gospel, but we're not practicing the social gospel. He's practicing the social gospel. So they better, if he understands Bible authority and respects the authority, he'll want to get away from attending a church doing something he now admits you can't even read about in the Bible. Second of all, on this program, we don't do a whole lot of attacking members of the church. If a call comes in, we're going to take it. We're going to deal with the question. But at the same time, we're not opposed. Listen, we've often said on this program, we don't discriminate. If there's error, whether it's in the church or out of the church, we're going to attack it, and we're going to try to demand consistency on everyone's part. And so we don't take any joy or delight in exposing these kind of things, but there you have it. We're going to talk about them if they come up.
Wow, where to even go with this? A couple of things come to mind right away. You know, he's inconsistent in his very thinking to say, well, you know, I don't read about social gospel in the Word of God, therefore the concept can't be right. Do we use the term Trinity? I try not to, but a lot of my brethren speak of the Trinity, the Godhead. Pray tell, where is the word Trinity in the Bible? Because you don't read of that specific word, does that deny the concept of God consisting as three separate persons? Where do we read the phrase age of accountability in the Bible? I know he and others use that terminology, and rightfully so. we speak of someone reaching the age of accountability. Well, where's that phrase in the Bible? Well, because that particular phrase isn't there, does that mean the concept is wrong? Where do we read about the word Bible in the Bible? Because we don't read of that actual word, does that now mean that we can't make reference to the Bible or what the Bible means? Listen, if that's his best argument, he doesn't have an argument. That's the bottom line. And as you said, and you hit it right, where's the authority? Listen, if you're arguing, if someone says that what you're doing is in error, and your only defense is, well, you know, your terminology isn't biblical. You know, I don't read about that exact term or phrase. If that's your best argument, you don't have an argument. If someone said, Aaron, what you're doing is not biblical, listen, I wouldn't argue on semantics. I would go to the book. Here's my authority. Here's book, chapter, and verse. And I find it interesting, he couldn't produce book, chapter, and verse, could he? No, he could attack us for attacking others. Think about that for a minute. Attacking us for attacking others. He could argue based on semantics. But sister, you keep this in mind. Don't lose sight of the obvious. He couldn't put his finger on the passage to justify what they were doing, could he? Until he can, he has no ground to stand on.
And you know, we have to use some kind of terminology to describe what's going on. And so the social gospel is a good way of describing it. But there's all kinds of sin that we couldn't even talk about or expose and condemn if the word's not found in the Bible. Do you read of pornography in the Bible? Do you read that word? Is it wrong for us if we spent the program attacking that? Would that be wrong? Of course not. Most people would applaud that. And so, I mean, these are just human words to describe real error that is being practiced by some churches, and that's all we're exposing. Hello, you're on More Bible Talk. Will you speak up, please?
Yes, I haven't called in a while, but I got on here a little late. I catch you all sometimes late. What I am amazed at how you guys do take portions of the scripture to try to justify your church doctrine. And if I may, I know time is limited.
Yes.
But even in 1 Corinthians 14, in 34, where you're using that, if you notice some things you didn't say, it says, let your women keep silent in the church. First of all, you got to know history to know what was going on. The women would holler, like a gentleman called earlier, said women would holler across the church to find out what was going on. And Paul was telling them, because he said before that, God is not the author of confusion. So they were hollering across the church to find out what was going on. See, the women weren't allowed to talk. They had to learn from their husband. But it goes on to say, for they are not permitted to speak, but they are to be submissive. Now, listen to this other part, because this is very important. It says, as the law also says. Paul, what Paul was doing, he was just abiding by the law that they had established in the Corinthians. During Corinthians' time. So a woman can preach. You have nowhere to justify what saying right. Where a woman can't preach. And if you go to the part where it says that Paul said, I suffer a woman. He didn't say God did. So you've got to understand.
All right. We got you. Listen, you're about to hang yourself even more. When you go down the line of distinguishing between what Paul said and God said, you know right away. Listen, to everyone who's listening, we had to cut him off, but he, you know, through the years, I've heard this argument so many times. If it's not in red, it doesn't really matter. If Jesus didn't say it, it's okay. I've had people write me letters, long letters, saying, well, that's just what Paul said. It doesn't really matter. Listen, Paul, in this very context, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, at verse 37, Paul says, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. How are you going to say, well, that was Paul, not God? Paul, when he spoke as an ambassador of Christ. And the very passage that you used here condemns what you're doing. Have you even been listening to the program? I guess you haven't because you just tuned in, but you might want to turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and look at that passage that we've been looking at verse 11. What in the world would your argument be about that passage? We understand there was chaos and confusion in the church at Corinth. We know all of that, and we know Paul was regulating the situation, but he said what he did. They were to keep silence, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. Listen, you're either going to follow that or you're not.
You know, we often make the point that you're not to interpret Scripture in light of science. A lot of people make that mistake, don't they? They try to interpret Scripture based on their understanding of science. You've got that backwards. Well, the same is true here. You're trying to interpret Scripture in light of what you think the exterior circumstances may have been. I don't know if the women were sitting on the opposite side or not. They may have been sitting in a circle for all I know. What I do know is that the Scripture is clear, plain, and emphatic. Women are not to take that role. They're not to publicly address the assembly. That's what the text says. Now, if you allow the text to speak for itself, that's what it says. Listen, here's what Paul said by inspiration. Women should keep silent in the churches. That's what the book of God says. And for you to call up, you charge us falsely, but then you say women can speak. My friend, you're in direct violation of 1 Corinthians 14:34. I don't care how you twist it. You're in direct violation of 1 Timothy 2, verses 11 and 12. Doesn't matter what you say. These passages are clear. And you need to start letting Scripture determine these other things instead of vice versa.
Absolutely right. Hello, you're on More Bible Talk. Can you speak up, please?
It's me again. I know you can only call twice.
Okay.
I'm amazed that you all can tell me that I'm in direct violation when you continuously speak about not going off the law and not allowing the law to be your establishment that gives you righteousness. Now, Paul specifically mentioned...
Let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
1 Corinthians 14, regardless of the exterior circumstances, is Paul telling a woman to speak or not to speak?
No. See, that's a trick question you're trying to do on the radio. You said teach and preaching. Teach and speaking are two different things, brother. Sure, he told them not to speak. Hello?
Oh, but they can teach. They just can't speak.
Well, you got to read the Scripture and understand what
the
Scripture says.
How can you teach without speaking? Were they writing it on the board?
Did you read the other part where he said, let them keep silent and ask questions when they get home? So that lets you know directly what he's referring to. The women were hollering across the church because they didn't understand anything. And like he said in the previous Scripture, that God is not the author of confusion. There was confusion going on. If
you're
preaching right now and women ask questions across the church screaming, wouldn't you tell them the same thing?
Okay, we got you. Yes, listen. We have already pointed out, there's no doubt that there were women in the church at Corinth that were making a scene, that they were causing confusion. That's why Paul had to set forth these things and regulate things and get things where they were decent and in order. But the fact of the matter is, what we pointed out, listen, not our interpretation. We're just looking at the words that Paul spoke. And by the way, these words in 1 Corinthians 14, when he talks about the women not permitted to speak, they're right in line with what Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 2, that the women were to learn in silence. We're not just taking passages here and there. We're looking at the overall teaching of what Paul taught on this particular issue in the New Testament. You, sir, all you're doing is you attend a church that allows these kind of things. There's no authority for it. Now you're trying to justify it instead of allowing the Word of God to conform what you do.
And again, what was tricky about my question? All I said is based on 1 Corinthians 14:34. Was Paul telling women to speak or not to speak? Well, I'm not going to answer that. That's a trick question. No, listen, it's not. And Paul specifically says, for they are not permitted to speak. You went on to say, well, you know, they can teach, they just can't speak. Well, how in the world are they going to do that? I guess they're going to write it down. And Don, before we run out of time, let me make this point again. Understand who the bad guys are and who the good guys are. Don and I are defending Scripture. We're not adding to it. We're not taking from it. We're reading 1 Timothy 2, verses 11 and 12. What does it say? We're reading 1 Corinthians 14, verse 34. What does it say? On this program, all we're doing is defending the Scripture. And as Don pointed out yesterday, you know, we could be much more popular if we took the loose position. Well, women can do whatever they want. But we're going to stick with the Word of God at all costs. And I hope you recognize that and appreciate that.
That's right. We may have to finish this on a different day, but let's take just one more call quickly. You're on More Bible Talk. Will you speak up, please?
Oh, yeah. The last caller knows that for years I've been hearing him. One time I had a program about tongue speaking, and you took the word out of the Bible, and he still wouldn't accept it then about miracles. Well, you took him, so we'll set up everything about miracles, instant miracles. He was the truth. He, when it comes to the truth, he couldn't do it. So that guy just want to argue about something. You hit him with the truth, and he just can't take it. And that's when he only just leave that church and come on, you know, stop. Biting against the pricks and just, you know, give in. If you don't, ain't no use arguing because you cannot change the truth. Keep up the good work. You're doing a good job.
We appreciate it. And listen, all of us ought to have the attitude that if we're practicing something that's not in line with the Word of God, I don't care how popular it is, we're going to change that. Not try to get the Word of God to change to fit our modern day culture. Remember, all of this is new stuff, as we've seen from these quotes that Aaron has brought in and read. This is all new. They didn't do it in the first century. And so don't try to change the Word of God to conform with your teaching. You ought to do it the other way around. Well, we appreciate, had a lot of calls on this second half hour, and we're really appreciative of that. Remember, it's provided by the West End Church of Christ. We're located at 4401 West Broadway. The South End Church of Christ, of course, meets at 4001 Taylor Boulevard. They would love for you to come out and be with them. We're so thankful that we have a full hour on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and now we hope and pray that you'll tune back in for Bible Talk tomorrow at 2:30.
Welcome to More Bible Talk, more of your Bible questions, more Bible-based answers, more of the bread of life. More Bible Talk is brought to you by the West End Church of Christ. We meet at 4401 West Broadway. And now your host, Don Wright. Mix 1240 Love, WLLV, Louisville, New Albany, a Golden Door broadcasting station.